confirmatory markers of the Holy Spirit. Are there confirmatory markers in our lives that you have the Holy Spirit? Paul says in Romans 8, 9, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. For one reason, the Spirit of God lives in you. And then this is the sentence. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. The flip side of that is, if you do have the Spirit, you belong to him. Now, get a hold of that phrase, first of all. Having the Spirit means you belong to him. So the connection between us and God, the connection between us and Jesus, is this Holy Spirit. When you belong to him, I think it's the process of getting the Spirit is what we need to talk about. There's a process of getting the Spirit. There is confirmation that you have the Spirit. And then there is evidence, or there's a purpose for us having the Spirit. And when I was preparing this message over the last few weeks, I think that, in my mind anyway, the process of getting the Spirit is the most important and the most difficult part of this. Process, confirmation, and purpose. Because the process is divided into two things. We think that obtaining the Holy Spirit is one of the parts of the process. You obtain the Holy Spirit through repentance. But there's another aspect to this, which I want to talk about today, and that is embracing that which you have. To obtain the Spirit. But I think the hardest part, and what I'm hearing from us today, and from what you're hearing from me, is to embrace that Spirit, to embrace it in our lives. That is an ongoing process. And we fail in belonging to him and taking advantage of belonging to him and all that that entails, and that is a massive statement, don't you think, to belong to him. That means we have access to him. In the hurly-burly of our lives, in the comings and goings, and the toing and froing, we have access to the Holy Spirit, and we need to embrace that and use that power in our lives. So the flagship verse for this, for me anyway, what the Holy Spirit really brought front and center in my life was Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, which I will read to you, because this verse you've heard before, this verse you have before you on your sheet, broken into part A and part B, and there's a reason for that. Because this verse, Matthew 3, 11, tells us the process of obtaining the Holy Spirit. I baptize you with water for repentance. But the one who is coming after me is more powerful. Two words there. After and power. On your sheet, I would circle those two words. You see that down toward the bottom. Matthew 3:11b. This is significant. After and more powerful. The one coming after me is more powerful. I'm not worthy to to take off his sandals. He himself will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Baptism with water is for repentance. That's part A of Matthew 3:11. Full stop. That's what baptism with water does. It is a repentance. It is preparatory. Baptism by water is preparatory for what comes after. Because what comes after is greater than repentance. It's more powerful in our lives than repentance. Repentance carries a power. But do you know what my experience has been? Repentance doesn't change me. John the Baptizer says that. The change comes after. The change comes with the more powerful thing. The change comes when the Spirit of God, then Jesus, through the Spirit of God, baptizes me with the Spirit and with fire. Repentance is strictly preparatory. Matthew 3:11a is preparatory. I've obtained the Spirit with Matthew 3:11a. When I've repented and I'm baptized with water, I've obtained the Spirit. But we can't stop there. And that's where we lose the advantage of belonging to Him. Because Matthew 3:11b tells us how to embrace this thing that we now have that is coming after and is more powerful. And I tied that in, the Spirit tied in Isaiah 55:10. Where God says that His thoughts aren't like our thoughts and His ways aren't like our ways. And then Isaiah talks about how this occurs in our lives. You see, look at Isaiah 55:10a. Here's the preparation. For just as rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth is being prepared. You see, repentance, Isaiah 40, verse 3, says, you're to prepare a highway for the Lord in the desert and in the wilderness, that there's going to be a way opened up for the Lord in the wilderness and in the desert. And that is what repentance is. Repentance simply opens up the highway. The problem, and repentance can be a powerful experience. The problem is we don't stop at Isaiah 55:10a, and we don't stop at Matthew 3:11a, because you belong to Him. We need to embrace this belonging. Jesus describes, and Kathy eloquently talked about that this morning. It was very, I hope you got that. It was very, very insightful. Jesus describes the baptism by water or the repentance. Jesus describes Isaiah 55, 10a. How does He describe that two chapters later? Poverty of spirit, mourning, and meekness. The repentance triad, that is baptism by water, That is repentance. That is preparatory. That's an internal change. It's the foundation. It's getting us ready. Poverty of spirit, mourning, and meekness simply get you prepared to then embrace the Spirit and have it purposeful in your life. See this? And if you don't have the foundation of poverty of spirit, mourning, and meekness, you will not advance to embracing that spirit in you, which looks like a hunger and thirst for Him. It looks like a merciful heart. It looks like a pure heart. And it looks like a peacemaking heart. Verse 11b. But the one who is coming after, the thing that happens to me and you after we repent, is powerful, more powerful. It's greater. This is good. If we grasp this, like you heard this morning from one, our sister, if you grasp this, it is day-to-day life-changing for us. So after the preparation, after the rain and the snow fall from heaven, water, God's word, and it saturates us, we're prepared then to respond. We're able to respond. The highway's been set up. The highway's open in the desert wilderness of your heart and the desert wilderness of my heart. The highway is now open. But the open highway doesn't change me. I can have an open highway and do nothing with it. We describe that as a shallow Christian. We describe that as a carnal Christian. The problem with those terms are they're not biblical. It is a catchphrase that we have used to excuse and normalize. Now watch this. To excuse and to normalize one who simply stops with John the Baptizer's ministry. Well, at least they're saved. But Jesus says, in so many of his parables, that's not the point. Most notably, the parable of the wheat and the tares. And in that parable, the only way that the harvesters can tell at the end of the age, the harvesters can tell this is wheat, this is a weed, is fruit. And the inference there is, which is a little chilling, if there's no fruit, you're counted with the weeds, and the weeds are gathered and thrown into a fire. So the highway is open through repentance. The way is made straight. The desert wilderness of your heart and your mind, you've repented. It's been prepared. Your heart's been prepared. Your mind's been prepared. But that doesn't change us. Am I being changed? See, that's the money phrase to my faith. Well, how does that occur? Well, then look at Isaiah 55:10b. See, look what happens. This is the response. The highway's open. You've repented. The way is clear in the wilderness and desert of your heart and mind. What happens then? Here's the response that God's looking for. This is Matthew 3:11b. This is the greater than. This is the baptism by the Spirit and by fire. Now you're able to respond. The highway's open. The Spirit has free access to your heart and mind. The Spirit's coming. And you are now ready to respond to that Spirit because the highway's open. What happens? It saturates the earth, and then what happens? It makes it germinate and sprout and provides things. Isn't this great? This is good. It provides seed to sow and food to eat. You see, our wilderness deserts have to be saturated before they are able to germinate and produce fruit that is consistent with repentance. How do you know this person's repented? John the Baptizer says, you better go produce fruit that is consistent with repentance. Good fruit. Here it is. Saturated ground is changed. And then it's ready to respond. Jesus describes that. Jesus describes Matthew 3:11b, baptism with the fire and with the Spirit, as he uses these descriptors. I'm going to analyze myself, do a litmus test on myself. Do I have these descriptors? Do I have them just even rudimentary? Jesus says, baptism with the fire and the Spirit, saturated ground that has been prepared through poverty of spirit, mourning, and meekness. Light bulb's going on, right? You see the Beatitudes woven through Scripture? Jesus says saturated ground germinates and sprouts and produces a hunger and thirst for righteousness, a merciful heart, a pure heart, and a peacemaking heart. Teresa and I talk all the time about what we've discovered, and you have too, the continuity of Scripture. How you can take a theme like the Beatitudinal Ladder, and you can see it woven through all of Scripture and teachings. It's just fascinating to me. And here we can go clear back to Isaiah, written centuries before Jesus ever talked about the Beatitudes, written centuries before Matthew 3:11 was ever recorded, and you see the same thing. You've obtained the Spirit, and I say that's the easy part. Now, here I'm going to speak to you where you live, because I'm there with you. Teresa talked weeks ago about when she did her marriage interview that she used a phrase, the Beatitudes in place. And she applied it to marriage. The Beatitudes in place, what Kathy talked about, what Dave mentioned, is the daily application of this process. I need to, every single day, repent so that the highway in my desert wilderness stays open. I'm confronted with situations circumstances and problems, your stuff, my stuff. And in order for the highway to stay open, I hope I'm able to convey this. In order for the highway to stay open in the desert wilderness of my life, you know what I need to do? You know what my repentance is there? I need to get out of the way. I need to demonstrate poverty of spirit, mourning, and meekness in that thing. This is how we embrace the Spirit. This is how we embrace belonging to Him and all that that entails. Listen, I belong to the King. You belong to the King. You are His possession, I'm His possession. As such, do I trust that King to know what is best for my circumstance, situation, and problem? Do I trust that King enough to get out of the way? Because when I stand in the middle of that highway in the wilderness desert of my heart and mind, it blocks Him. Every single day. A voice crying in the wilderness desert, prepare a highway for the Lord. Make straight His pathway through the desert wilderness. My getting out of the way is preparing the way of the Lord. That was good. It took me all week to come up with that phrase. My getting out of the way is the preparation for the way of the Lord. You know, that's what Isaiah says in 40, verse 3. He says, prepare the way. Make straight the highway. John the Baptizer says, be baptized with water. Jesus says, have poverty of spirit, mourning, and meekness. What is the hallmark of what does someone look like that has poverty of spirit, mourning, and meekness? They don't demand their own way. They get out of the way. And that is the preparation. That opens the highway again, because I'll tell you something, I can close that highway every single day. Yeah? Well, why would I do that? Well, I'll do that because John the Baptizer told me that if the way is prepared and if I get out of the way, what comes after is more powerful than anything I could ever do. Something greater and more powerful is going to now deal with my stuff. Circle the words, after and more powerful. And understand that if I want Him, because I belong to Him, and you belong to Him, I can thwart His handling. If you insist on your way and your righteousness of dealing with things, you block God's way. And I love what the Spirit has done in this series, because that was something that the Spirit gave me 3 months ago. That's that, and I had no idea what was going to connect here. And then the Isaiah 40, verse 3, He showed me the highway in the desert wilderness. And the desert wilderness, I came to realize, are hearts and minds of men and women. And that needs to be, the highway needs to be built in there. It needs to be opened in there, because otherwise the Spirit's not coming. So we think that, well, once you obtain the Spirit, you're done. I've repented, and I'm not doubting anybody's genuine repentance. But once I've repented and I've obtained the Spirit, well, I'm done. But no, when I read Romans 8, 9, and I realize, well, wait a minute. I belong to Him now, and you belong to Him now, and therefore that has to have a daily insinuation in my life. Has to. So I want Matthew 3:11b, I want the after and the greater to deal with my stuff. And that's hard. It's so hard. Because you're thinking, well, if I get out of the way, what if things don't turn out the way I want? Because if I stay in the way, if I run the highway, then I can steer this situation. Well, how are you doing with that? Yeah, exactly. But meekness, I no longer demand my own way. The highway's open. And now that the soil is prepared, now that my heart is prepared, now that the way is open, I know that something more powerful and greater is going to come after that, and I'm now going to expose my circumstances to that greater and more powerful thing, and it'll work in a way I never could have imagined. Why? Because I belong to him, and you belong to him, and he's on your side. My children can thwart my help. I can thwart the help of this spirit. I cannot embrace this spirit. And I can live my life, like Thoreau says, in quiet desperation, crawling between the beast and the angels. Or, I can daily repent in every situation I come to. I can daily apply poverty of spirit, mourning, and meekness. I can daily prepare and keep that way open for the Lord, knowing that Matthew 13, 11b will then come in, and it will be more powerful. Now, you got to watch the enemy here. Because he's going to drag you back, like Teresa pointed out, and I liked what you said there, that he's going to drag you back into the wilderness, like Jesus was in the wilderness and he came at him, and his enemy is going to try and get you to go back into the wilderness desert of your own thinking. Well, the confirmation, and we end with this, the confirmation that you've received something greater is twofold, is two things. One, we're all about. One, we're not so much about. Two things. And to me, the greater, the most important is the first thing, our thinking. The confirmation that you've embraced the Spirit, the confirmation that you've prepared the way by daily repentance, the confirmation that your soil has been saturated and is now ready to produce fruit consistent with repentance. The number one thing is how we think. The second thing is how we behave. Now, the behavior you can fake. I'm pretty good at that. No, I'm not. Teresa says I wear my emotion on my sleeve, right? You say, don't you say that about me? Yeah, she does. So maybe I'm...
No, it's readily apparent.
It's readily apparent of how I'm thinking and feeling. But I think we can fake behavior if we want to, but the first part, the greater part, is thinking, and that's something we cannot really fake, and that's what I want to go into next time, that the confirmatory evidence and the marker that the Holy Spirit is in you and that you've embraced it and that the highway is open, that your ground is saturated, your ground is ready to prepare fruit and food consistent with repentance, is how you think. Okay, so I'm done with this topic or this message today. Was this clear? Well, do you have any questions about this? about the daily application of the Beatitudes, about the Beatitudes in place and what that means. And sometime I'm going to actually ask you, honey, to explain the Beatitudes in place in marriage in more detail, because I think that's important. So everybody's on board. Everybody understands this, what we did today. You understand the Beatitudes in place, the daily application. You know how to embrace the Spirit. You know it's a highway that has to stay open, that you can shut the highway. You prepare the highway by getting out of the way. You getting out of the way is the preparation. On board? Everybody good? Okay. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I pray you would bless this message today and have it germinate and sprout and grow. Amen.
If you'd stand, please.